We sang it this morning. Salvation without sin. The Scripture says it. To those that look for Him, He shall appear without sin. Now, I know that we have viewed that from one standpoint. We've said, you know, without sin, and we still viewed that as, He has taken away my sin, and He now appears without sin as my very life, and that's true. But that also, there's a reality there that there is an appearing of Christ that is absolutely, totally, beyond, having no reference to sin. There is a comprehending of salvation beyond my needs being met. Those needs brought about by sin. I am not talking to you about little namsy-pamsy temporal needs. I'm not talking to you about that which our Heavenly Father provides. I'm talking to you about needs brought about by sin that had to be met. Had to be met. That the cross even met. But the cross stood for something much more than that to the one who gave it His name. To the one who actually made the cross everything that it is. It meant much more than just dealing thoroughly, completely, and in a final way with sin. But it meant much more. Salvation to Him meant much more. And I'm just saying that to you and I, if we continue to know Him, it must come to be that way as well. No, that doesn't mean that salvation will ever cease dealing with those things and with sin. Absolutely not. But our comprehension of salvation must finally come beyond me. And what Jesus did for me, though those things will never cease to be, but our focus must finally come to see salvation without sin. Salvation as if sin never, ever even existed. Because that's when it'll be related to purpose. Because the purpose of the whole plan of God is before sin, before creation. And I found that we can't understand that until we come to deal with this first phase of a threefold nature and purpose. And that is Christ's statement, you will know, I am in my Father. What does that really mean to you and I? But He said, you will know. I am in my Father. I spent all day up here yesterday running word searches on that and looking at that, and I ain't even scratched the surface of it yet, let alone come to really comprehend the actuality of what that means, of what that means to me, to you, with regard to our salvation. And I'm going to continue to say salvation, even though I know that every time people hear salvation, immediately they relate it to sin and the needs of sin and all of that. But I'm telling you, there's a greater comprehension of salvation. There was no point in using another word. Let's just get the definition of this word correct as to its purpose. As to its purpose. But that's the first. You will know I'm in my Father. Oh, Lord God, hon. so many run beyond that in their search. So many run beyond that because there are many who will start with the second part. And you will know, let me just add that to each of these, that you are in me. But you see, though you may know that, though may you've seen that in the Scripture, you've seen it in however way you have seen it, in however way you've come to grasp it, in whatever way. Maybe it's a belief of a positional, because when I hear most talk about being in Christ, most of the books that we have back here that I've read, I mean of men who are scholars, but not only that, more than that, men who love God, who knew the Lord. And yet most of their writings with regard to being in Christ is from a factual basis and a basis of position. I read it and it just kind of leaves me without relationship. I mean, it's so, it'll be stated, this is so whether you think it's so or not. Okay, but there's more to it. This is so because God has made it so. Well, so's everything else. But there's got to be more to it than just that absoluteness of fact. It's got to mean more to me than that. I've got to see more there than that. I've got to see some kind of a definite union with Christ that brings about a life flow. Well, all right, let me get off on my soapbox on that this morning. But the point is, what happens there, even if understanding that to however we can come to understand it, we'll understand it in that way. Why? Because we've skipped a step. We've skipped a step. We started out with me in Christ. But that's not where the eternal plan and purpose of God starts. It starts in the Father and the Son and in that union that is from before the foundation of the world. On everything comes out from a divine relationship. And everything that comes out from a divine relationship is to be comprehended as and lived as and in relationship. We have been brought into a relationship. We haven't merely been brought into a factual thing or a positional thing. We have been brought into a relationship. I'm just saying, you know, that at some point in time in understanding that relationship, we're going to have to go back to what is actually with God, point number one. Because when we don't, our story of salvation is still about me and it's still about you. It's about me being in Christ and you being in Christ. And we're still looking at it from our standpoint and from the standpoint of our needs. And we're going to preach it that way, teach it that way, and we're going to deal with it that way. And I'm not saying those things are not met. I'm just saying that is a standpoint that falls short of glory. If you don't want to fall short of glory, then you're going to have to begin with glory. Because the whole plan and purpose ends with glory. Why does it end with glory? Because it begins with glory. It doesn't begin with me being in Christ. It begins with Him being in His Father. It all comes out from there. Secondly, then, is you will know you're in me. But what meaning that takes on when it is coupled with that first? I am in my Father. And then thirdly, and I in you. I in you. And what a reality that is. Oh, I guess so. What a reality that is. A reality that is expressed in the term the revelation of Jesus Christ. I mean, I've told people before, why must Christ be revealed in you? There's only one answer. Because He is there. And that's the reason they use that term in the Bible, a term that is defined as the uncovering, the disclosure of something that is there. And that's why they use that term. I mean, come on, hon. The writers of the New Testament, they used that term first. They didn't get that from somebody. They used that term. Why did they use that term? Because it related to that reality. Christ in you. To be revealed in you. Not only life, but light as well. Yes. But oh, we'll never. Well, okay. What do we do? How do we see Him? We see Him in relation to me and my needs. Is that wrong? No, that is not wrong. It's just not complete. It is not wrong. That is, in fact, set out in the tabernacle as being necessary. I can never see Him as God's beginning until I see Him as God's end. God's end to what? God's end to me, which is my first. You know this about the tabernacle furniture. First shall be last. Last shall be first. Principle of the kingdom. But He doesn't just remain to be my end. He is that more definitely than most have ever seen, more finally than most have ever seen. But He is that. And yet He's so much more than that. Because He is God's beginning. And though we can never come to know Him as God's beginning until we accept Him and embrace Him and know Him as God's end, it doesn't change the fact that He is God's beginning, and there's where we find purpose. There's where we find the Father's view with regard to salvation. There's where it starts out. It starts out with Christ in God. We're brought into that relationship in Him. And He reveals and is the revelation of that relationship in us. But you can't stop short of the glory. Well, let me read this in closing. This is what I was going to read to you today. We'll get around to it. Just for my study's sake, I've entitled it, In My Father's House, Salvation Beyond the Needs Imposed by Sin. But here, I ran this off this morning. For the joy. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. Oh, hon, let's understand that everything He did here at the cross, He did in light and in full view of the joy that was set before Him from the beginning. The cross was never just God's answer to the mistakes of Adam. It was never God's reaction to man sinning. The cross is much more than that. In the wisdom, divine wisdom of God, the answers to all of the stupidity of man and ignorance of the devil was answered there. But it didn't stop with that. The joy that he faced of the cross was not just getting it all over with. The joy that was set before him at the cross was the same joy that had always been set before, that is, predetermined, predestinated. Oh, Lord, I'd love to stay with this because this term, set before Him, is the same thing that is used with this predestined purpose for us. It is the thing that is set before in Christ Jesus according to which we, see, are predestined, which again means to set before. That is, hon, you and I do not have a salvation that is less or other than that which was set before Him from the beginning. That's the same that you will find in Ephesians 1 and in Romans 8, for those whom He did foreknow, He did also set before. He also did predestinate, set before. Brings it to the realm of purpose. There's much involved in bringing us to that realm of purpose, but the realm of purpose is always there. And it's always according to the purpose that everything is done. And so you see, with Him, the cross was an instrument of divine purpose. And though it met all kind of needs, it was never centered upon those needs. Never. So we come along ignorant of that, and we want to preach to the church that, you know, everything that the whole church, its functions, its ministries, and all of that must come to be centered upon meeting the needs of humanity. Well, honey, after you got all the needs of humanity met, absolutely, totally, perfectly, and restored humanity back to the way it was before it ever ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you've still just got an Adamic humanity that falls short of the glory of God. And I here suggest to you that the purpose of the church has to be according to the purpose established in God and fulfilled in Christ from before the foundation of the world. And that our ministry to the church should be accordingly. Now, that eliminates no needs being met. It simply brings all things into purpose so that none of those things are substituted for purpose. As far as I'm concerned, if you want to get somebody excited about something, get them excited about purpose. Get them excited about purpose. Eternal purpose. Coming to find that in Christ and coming to manifest that in everything that we do. But never becoming so fixated upon the doing of things that we lose sight of purpose, if we ever had the sight to begin with. Sweetheart, what I'm saying this morning and what you all know is absolutely essential to our running the race. running the race, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher. Author denotes that which causes something. Author is translated priest, leader, prince of life. As one third century writer states, the life he had was not from another. The prince or author of life must be he who has life from himself. See, he's not only the prince of life, he is the prince of faith. And he brings us to that faith through the showing of himself. Oh, blessed be the Lamb of God. Yes. Finisher. A perfecter. A perfecter. A completer. A consummator. Looking for something to be consummated? It's consummated already in him. Hallelujah. Yes. And then, be set before. That was set before. To be placed before, or in front of. To set before. To be placed before the eyes. To lie in the sight. To be appointed. Predestined. To be there. To be present. To be at hand. Oh, my Lord God. See, this is wonderful. Because with Him, everything is at hand. He is the beginning of it, the end of it, the end of it, the beginning of it. See, that's what we come to learn in knowing Him. But with Him, it's present. It's present. He is not reacting to any surprise elements, because there are none. He is simply performing what is present. What He's both the beginning and the end of. The end of it at the same time He's the beginning of it. Do you understand that? Most people don't understand that about the Lord with the cross. They don't understand that. They still think that right up to the time He's making a decision as to whether He's going to obey God or not. And they get that mixed up with the way, you know, we ought to work, or, you know, whether we really want to die or not. You see, when you see the Lord, all of that is bound up in His faith, and it's not an issue whether I want to die. It's, well, I face the truth, I'm dead. Not whether I want to die. So God put me in a bunch of situations to make me... How stupid. No. I come to the truth. The truth is, I'm dead. You know, at least that's the beginning of the truth. Point being, hon, I to be there. To be present. To be at hand. You see, for Him, the thing was already present. The joy that was set before. Great word. Great word. In presence. In sight of. Great word. Great word. Shame. The confusion of one who is ashamed of anything, sense of shame, ignominy, disgrace, dishonor, a thing to be ashamed of. Despised, to think against, to esteem. Despising the shame, but for the joy that was set before him. Do you think that he really learned anything by the shame? No. He bore the shame because of the joy, because of the glory, because of the happiness, because glory means happiness and joy. Everything he did in view of divine purpose. Why? Because he is everything that he did. He is the beginning and the end. Well, all right. That's enough this morning. Just that we set our view upon him. That we set our view upon him. You know, I don't have to figure out a lot of things. I don't have to have somebody reveal to me what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. It's really completely incidental, unimportant to purpose. To purpose. To the eternal plan and purpose of God. Whatever happens tomorrow is an opportunity for purpose to prevail, whether I consider the thing that happens good or bad. May purpose prevail. May purpose prevail. Because only the purpose you and I manifest in the circumstance and situation gives that circumstance or situation any purpose at all. Unless you manifest purpose there, there isn't any purpose there. Blessed be the Lamb. In my Father's house, salvation beyond the needs imposed by sin. This has been a little introduction to that, and we'll just continue as the Lord directs. Amen.